We'll be wrapping up today this series when Jesus' disciples, they watched him pray. They knew there was something different about how he prayed, and they said, I want some of that. I need some of that. I need to know how to pray like that. I need to know how to pray like that. So Jesus answered. He was so compassionate. He was so kind. He was so generous. He said, okay, when you pray, pray like this. Pray like this, and he just began to unfold it all, this heart, this intimacy, this connection to his Father. He taught us to pray, our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth like it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors, and lead us, not in the temptation, but in the leading. Deliver us from the evil one, for thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. And it's so ironic, isn't it, that the very prayer that Jesus was trying to teach us intimacy, right? Abba, Father, to teach us connection, you and you alone, becomes over the centuries just another set of words to memorize and repeat in a ritualistic fashion. Well, the heart in this series has been to invite you to own it again in its depth, in its reality, in its intimacy, your heart to God's ear. My Father, Abba, Father, hallowed be your name. We've been talking about the prayer of connection that just says, unless I'm praying to you, I'm just making noise. A prayer of connection that says, you're my Father in heaven. You're not just a Father, you're my Father in heaven. A prayer of surrender that says, your kingdom, not my kingdom. Your will, not my will. A prayer of dependence that says, Lord, if you don't feed me, I'll go hungry. I can work, I can press, I can strain, and yet all that I can amass, it can seep through my fingers like sand. Lord, you've got to provide for me. Lord, I need you. A prayer of dependence, a prayer of release that would say, Lord, in Jesus' name, I want to be free. I want to be free of the sin that has so easily entangled me. I'm sorry. Lord, in Jesus' name, I want to be free from the ones who have hurt me before. I want to be free of the hurts and the grudges and the anger that has separated my heart from yours. A prayer of release, a prayer of deliverance that would say, lead me, Lord, lead me. Not into temptation, but in the leading. Deliver me, Lord. Deliver me from the enemy of my soul. And now today, the prayer of fulfillment. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. I got some questions I want to invite you into just to sort of frame our time together so that when we come to the end, you'll be ready to respond, ready to pray into what God has been speaking into your heart. So here you go. Have you ever lost sight of the big picture? I mean, Jesus' prayer was a big picture prayer. Thy kingdom, thy will. It was a big picture prayer. My Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. But all too often, I lose sight of the big picture. I don't know about you. Actually, I kind of do know about you. I know you lose sight of the big picture. When the immediate needs become so crushing that all you can think about is what that doctor is going to say when you step into that office, you lose sight of the big picture. When all you can think about is what's going to happen on the other side of this transition that work is putting me through, you lose sight of the big picture. When all you can think about is that child of yours who seems to be on a collision course with a life that just doesn't have to be as hard as they're making it, you lose sight of the big picture, and all you can see is what's right in front of you. Have you ever lost sight of the big picture to the point that you become weary, even despairing that it's ever going to change, that it's ever going to be different? God, I just can't see how I'm going to get from here to there. I don't understand it. I can't see the path. God, I need help. And here's the answer. The only answer that I'm aware of, the only answer that I know will work, and that is to fix your eyes on Jesus. To fix your heart on Jesus. Colossians 3, to fix your mind on Jesus. That's all I know. And we're going to come back to that Oh, precious ones, when it says, for thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Those are glory words, right? There's actually a category for words like that in Bible study, in hermeneutics. There's a category for words like that. It's called doxology. Doxology. Doxa means glory. Logos is word. It's the glory words. It's the times when you get so caught up in the presence and the activity of God. It's the times when you become just enraptured by God, and you just have this sort of eruption of praise. It just happens. You just, boom. Let me give you a couple of examples. So for instance, one of them is, now to him who's able to do immeasurably more than we could ask or imagine, right? That's doxology. That's glory words. That's glory words. Now, to him who is able to keep you from falling, to present you before his glorious presence, to him be glory and power forever. That's glory words. That's doxology. Well, this addendum to the Lord's Prayer, if you're looking at it in your Bible and you've got some kind of note in your Bible that says, original transcripts, some late manuscripts include this, but the earliest manuscripts, for yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. And you may think, this is just an add-on. This is just something that just shows up at some later time. How do I even know if this is inspired? Well, let me just give you a heads up on something. I marked it in my Bible. Even if it wasn't said that afternoon on the hillside, 1 Chronicles chapter 29, David says something to this effect, and it's one of those times when, because you've heard it so often, when life just gets too good to be true, you can't help but erupt with the glory words that say something like, yours, Lord, is the greatness and the power and the glory and the majesty and the splendor, for everything in heaven and earth is yours. Yours, Lord, is the kingdom. You are exalted as head over all. Wealth and honor come from you. You are the ruler of all things. In your hands are strength and power to exalt and give strength to all. Now, our God, we give you thanks and praise for your glorious name. That's David's words when the temple was being built. When the resources were being gathered, David winds up saying, who am I and who are my people that we should be able to give as generously as this? I'm just telling you, these glory words are powerful words. And they're important for us, especially when we lose sight of the big picture. It's interesting that this prayer begins and ends by reestablishing just who is in charge here, right? Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name, your kingdom, your will. Yours is the kingdom, yours is the power, yours is the glory forever and ever. These glory words are important because my heart needs to be reminded, your heart needs to be reminded, whose kingdom it is we're trying to establish. Needs to be reminded, who's the one who said, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these other things are going to take care of themselves. Just a few chapters before, when Jesus was teaching the guys to pray, he found himself in the wilderness, 40 days of fasting, 40 days of going before his Father, uniting his heart with the heart of his Abba Father. And the enemy comes to him, the enemy of his soul and yours, and he begins to tempt him. You've heard this story. He begins to lay out these temptations, and the last one goes like this. Again, the devil took him to a very high mountain, and he showed him all the kingdoms of the world and their splendor. And he said, all this I will give you if you will just bow down and worship me. You see, I think Satan is still in the business of tempting people like you and me with that same thought process, that same idea. Let me just read this to you. In Ephesians chapter 6, Paul says, look, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power, put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's wicked schemes. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but it's against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. The enemy took Jesus to that high mountain and showed him all the shiny things. showed him all the shiny things. He said, I'll give all of this to you if you will just bow down and worship me. If you don't think you need to be reminded of whose kingdom it is in the first place, just give yourself a few hours and you will see a billions of dollar display of all the shiny things that this world wants to distract you with. They sell the time in seconds because that's how long it takes for this fickle bone in my heart to be led astray to all the shiny things. It's not what I can accomplish, it's his kingdom. It's not what I can acquire, it's his kingdom. It's not what I can amass as a fortune. It's about his kingdom and his righteousness. And if you don't think you need to be reminded of that, just take a look at your checking statement. If you don't think you need to be reminded of that, just take a look at the things that really get under your skin and see if it's not a matter of the things and the times and the places where I just don't get my way. Jesus said, thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Jesus actually told us what the kingdom looks like. Let me just read this to you. Jesus had so many parables, so many teachings of what the kingdom of God looks like. This one's in Matthew chapter 13. The kingdom of heaven is like treasure hidden in a field. And when a man found it, he hid it again. And then in his joy, he went and sold all that he had and he bought that field. I was praying about this and I said, Lord, what do you want to get across about your kingdom? What do you just want us to be able to just hold on to and chew on? What do you want us to take with us about your kingdom? And I just really felt like the Lord said, you let everybody know the kingdom is real. The kingdom is real. It's not just some imaginary thing. It's not just some feel-good moral lessons that we give to our children in Sunday school. The kingdom of God is real. It's real, and it's coming. In fact, it may be coming sooner than any of us think or realize, but not sooner maybe than you hope for. The kingdom is real, and it's coming, and it's good. You know how I know it's good? Because when Jesus said the kingdom of heaven is like a treasure hidden in a field, it's real, it's tangible. Can't you just see the guy that finds the treasure in the field when he looks both ways and covers it back up? Knowing that if only I could acquire this field, then I will have everything that's in that field. Covering it back up and then looking for something that he can mark the spot with so that when first opportunity, I'll come and dig this back up because the kingdom of God is real and it's coming and it's good. When a man found it, he hid it again. And then in his joy, I love that line, in his joy, he went and sold all that he had. Glad for the exchange. Good trade. To take everything I can amass, everything I can build, everything I can acquire, everything I can accumulate, and give it in exchange for knowing God and being known by God. And knowing that the people that I love the most can be in relationship with God. And I can be an instrument in his hand to see his kingdom come and his will being done. He went with joy. He went and sold all that he had and he bought that field. The kingdom and the power. Man, some people are in a lust for power. Some people are in a greed for power. If only I could do, if only I could accomplish, if only I could have and get. There's this passage, I want to bring it to you because it's one of the most famous passages when we talk about the flow and the move of the kingdom of God, especially when we talk about the gospel going to places it hasn't been before. Jesus said, I give you all authority in heaven and on earth. Now go and make disciples. And then he said this in Acts chapter 1. He said, you will receive power. You will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in all Judea and Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. God is very interested in putting power in your life. Power is received. It's not earned. Power is received. It's not educated. Power is given from the Lord. It is received, but it's received for a reason, for a purpose, not just so that you can show off in front of your friends, not just so that you can lord it over the people around you. Power is received in order for you and me to bear witness of what God is up to anyone who cares to hear how God is at work. You want to know how I know God is real? Look what he's done in me. It's interesting, that move of God that seems to be happening in Kentucky right now. It's said that it is marked by repentance and by testimony. Man, that's how you know the power of God is at work. When people who have everything to prove and everything to lose lay it down in order to buy that treasure and say, no, you don't understand. I'm a sinner and I need a Savior. And Jesus, you're the only one. And if Jesus could save me, he could save you. If Jesus can work in me, Jesus can work in you. The kingdom, the power, the glory. And the thing that I really feel like God wants us to know about the glory is this. The glory is reserved for the one who is worthy. And that's not to say if you could be good enough, you'd get some. That's not what I'm saying at all. I'm saying there is one alone who is worthy. I want to read to you from Revelation chapter 5. This is the ultimate worship service. This is worship in heaven as it's meant to look. And the song they sing says this, "Worthy is the Lamb who was slain to receive power and wealth and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and praise." And every creature in heaven, on earth, under the earth, on the sea, and all that is in them says, "To him who sits on the throne and to the Lamb be praise and honor and glory and power forever and ever." And it says this, it says, "You are worthy to take the scroll, to open its seals. You are worthy." Glory is reserved for the one who is worthy. That matters. That matters. Because there's something in the heart of John. There's something in the heart of John. Let me just read this to you. "I saw in the right hand of him who sat on the throne a scroll with writing on both sides and sealed with seven seals. And I saw a mighty angel proclaiming in a loud voice, 'Who is worthy? Who is worthy to break the seal and open the scroll?' But no one in heaven, on earth, or under the earth could open the scroll or even look inside it. And I wept because no one was found who was worthy to open the scroll." There was something in the heart of John that knew inside that scroll is my pardon. Inside that scroll, that's what it's going to take for me to climb off this electric chair, to climb off this cross, because I'm the one who's worthy to die. But in that scroll, there's something in the heart of John that just knows, if that can't be opened, I can't be saved. And John says, I wept because no one was found who was worthy to open the scroll or look inside. And then one of the elders said to me, don't weep. See the Lion of the tribe of Judah? See the root of David? He has triumphed and he is able to open the scroll and its seals. And then I saw a lamb looking as if it had been slain, and he was standing at the center of the throne, encircled by the four living creatures and the elders. And the lamb had seven horns and seven eyes, seven spirits of God sent out into the earth. And he went and he took the scroll from the right hand of him who sat on the throne. And when he had taken it, the four living creatures and the 24 elders, they fell down before the lamb, and each one with his harp holding and golden bowls full of incense, which are the prayers of the saints. And they sang this new song saying, "You are worthy. You and you alone are worthy." And I'm just telling you, precious ones, my fickle heart needs to be reminded at the start as well as the finish, the kingdom is yours. And the power is yours. And the glory is yours forever and ever and ever. So let me just ask you, have you ever lost sight of the big picture? Do you find yourself today sitting here in this room having lost sight of the big picture? Do you come to church week after week, hoping, thinking maybe something's going to click in place and it's going to begin to make sense and your heart's going to become, it's going to find relief and you're going to find freedom and you're going to find the joy again. But week after week, you get just the tiniest taste and then it's over. And what are you going to do with that? What are you going to do with that? Have you gotten to that place of despairing weariness? Just, Lord, can't it be more? Lord, can't I taste and see that you're good? Lord, can't it break open? Can't it break loose? Can't it fill my heart? Lord Jesus, we come today to fix our eyes on you. Would you stand with me? Lord, we want to fix our minds on you. Lord, we want to fix our hearts on you. Lord, to know that you're my Father, that you're my God. To know, Lord, that no matter where I've chased after all the shiny things, my heart can come back to you. And maybe today's your day. Maybe today's your day in repentance and in testimony to find your way back to the wellspring that is Jesus.